And I pray that God would open your spirit, Lord, open their spirit today, that they can deal with these verbal wounds they've had over the years. Oh, God, I pray that you would strengthen them, Lord, and get all these arrows out of them. They are pin cushions. That's what they are. And help us right now, Lord, to deal with this and minister to this need in their life. One of the most, again, inaccurate rhymes of all time is, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Words do more than hurt. They leave deep wounds and destructive infections, which improperly treated will bring about painful spiritual and physical death. These wounds need, and these words need to be identified. The type of verbal wound is important as distinguishing a snake bite from a knife wound. I was in a ER one time, emergency room with somebody years ago, and I looked on the wall and there's a giant chart in the treating room on the wall. And it said different types of snake wounds. And there was pictures of the different type of poisonous snake. Now here where we live, and perhaps where you are as well, we have the different snakes. Some are not poisonous at all, like the black snake that goes through your yard, or a gardener snake, or a green snake. But there's deadly snakes out there. Rattlers are probably the most famous in our part of the world. Copperheads, there's the cobras. I mean, it just goes on and on. Not where we live. And this chart, I was standing there. This chart showed a picture of the snake, the type poison that it bite has, and the symptoms of that poison. And I looked across all these snakes, and they're all different. The snake was different. Coloration from the coral snake to the eastern rattler. Moccasins, I mean, cottonmouths, they're all there. And every one of those snakes had a different toxin that has to be dealt with in a different way. One has a distinct treatment. And if not quickly applied, it'll bring about serious consequences. We all know that. In a real snake bite, it can mean fever, swelling, infection, loss of limbs, shortness of breath, speech loss, convulsions, and severe death. That could happen. Wounding words can bring about broken fellowship, bitterness, hatred, character destruction, unanswered prayer, defilement, envy, strife, confusion, and untold general hurt, which can lead to loss of victory, joy, peace, and left unchecked, spiritual and physical death. Both to the giver and to the receiver of these words. In the book of James, chapter 3, verse 8. Book of James, chapter 3, verse 8 says this: "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." I'll read that again. "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of," notice, "deadly poison. Deadly poison." Then we're going to look at the book of Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 140, verse 3. Psalm 140, verse 3. So what I'm teaching to you is coming right out of the Word of God. Look what it says. Psalm 140, verse 3. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. An adder's poison is under their lips. Notice that. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Who says that words will not kill you? See, poison is something of, for instance, rust acting on metals affect their nature. You look at the great ship, Titanic, bottom of the ocean. It's just rusting away. All that metal, just falling apart. It's just dust. Snake poison, which destroys living tissue. That's what happens. See, the use of words, which affects people's lives, act on their soul, affecting their spirit and destroying their self-worth. That's right. Just like that rust acting upon the metal, like the Titanic, and the snake poison which destroys living tissue, words affects us and affects us in so many different ways. Soul, spirit, and self-worth. See, how many times people say, well, you're not worth nothing. See, and what happens? Belittling them and blasting them and finally destroying them mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. That's right. There's five different types of words in the Bible, named different types of words. Like we just had a moment ago, they sharpen their tongues like a serpent's adder's poison under their lips. All right, so they're sharp words. And then over in James, we talk about the deadly poison, unruly evil. So you see that there's different types of words. We're going to deal with them. Not all today. Not at all. And we have been injured by words people have said to us. And they've come at different definitions, different types of words. Different types of words. And we, let's be honest, have injured others, let's be honest, with the same type of words. We have said things to individuals that have injured them. Now, let's look at the first word I want to deal with. There's no particular order, it's just the way it's being taught. The first word is cutting words. Cutting words. As a kid, someone would say, some boy, and our friends would say, you've just been cut by that. All right? We said that. They didn't know. We didn't know what that meant. Not this way. Not this way. Boy, he just cut you down. Now, we know he didn't take a sword and cut our legs off at our knees. We know that. It was verbal. Boy, he just cut you. Wow. And as growing up in the streets of Brooklyn, in New York, we used to talk about that. Man, he can really cut you. Now, hear that. It was all done. It was all done with words. Words. Cutting words come from trusted friends. Now I want you to hear this. The origin of the words. Cutting words come from trusting friends, family, spouse, church members, anyone that a person feels at ease with or has fellowship in life. Now think about this. It doesn't come from an enemy. That's a different type of word. Cutting words comes from friends, family, spouses, church members, those we feel at ease, those, you know, we can kick back with, have fun with. That's where these come from. Psalm chapter 55, verse 12. Now look what it says. Again, Psalm 55, 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hidden myself from him. Look at this, 13. But it was thou, a man equal, my guide and my acquaintance. 13. That's what 13 says. That's what we talked about a second ago. We took sweet counsel together. We walked into the house of God in company. Then let's look at verse 21. The words of his mouth was smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His word were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. What does drawn sword naturally do? It cuts, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Now, I want to go through this. I want to walk you through this here in this teaching. Verse 12. For it was not an enemy. Notice it was not an enemy. No, it wasn't an enemy. It wasn't some guy out there trying to get you. No. No. It wasn't an enemy. It was a person like yourself. Verse 13 tells him that. A companion, a close friend, a family friend, a familiar friend, a family. How many husbands and wives unwisely cut their spouses? Hey, we're praying for families. This is perfect, isn't it? Just cut their husband to pieces. I mean, just the old saying, I whittled you down to size. I just cut you in the ribbons. Cut you to pieces. I'm telling you, most divorces started out with words. As a pastor, counselor, I've had a lot of couples come to me, and the first thing that I asked them, what, who said what to whom? And that's where the glitch started. Right there. Well, he said something to me about something or other, and then she said something to me about something or another, and there we go. And that words in anger cut them. It's just like a knife. And here's what happened. Years later, years and years go by, and one day she says to him, oh, by the way, remember you said this to me?
No, I really don't.
Remember, but you did. And here's what you said. You said what? A, B, C, D.
Oh, yeah.
Know how badly that cut me? You see? Wounding words. Verse 14 tells us that it was one that you have enjoyed. We took sweet counsel together. We walked into the house of God in company. Had close fellowship with. That could, see, companion, family, friend, best friend, acquaintance, church member. See, it's one that attends the same church. These are cutting words. Here are some cutting words. Quote, we've decided that you are not entitled to any inheritance in our family because of the fact that you were born of a harlot. Who would say anything like that? You talk about cutting. We've decided you are not entitled to any inheritance in our family because of the fact you were born of a harlot. Wow. Wow. Imagine that. I mean, you talk about cutting full of hatred and injury. That sounds like fighting words. That's somebody get up and punch someone's lights out, huh? What? Is that what you calling my mama? You know those words are in the Bible. What? Yeah, they are. Well, where? Judges chapter 11. Yeah. Let's take a look at it in verse 1 and 2 of Judges chapter 11. Look what it says. Does it say what I just told you? We have decided you are not entitled to any inheritance in our family because of the fact that you were born of a harlot. Let's look at the word of God. Judges chapter 11, verse 1. Now, Jephunneh the Gideonite was a mighty man of valor, and he was a son of a harlot. Wow. Look at the family line. You're the son of a harlot. You're not entitled to anything. And Gideon begat, look at his family tree, Jephthah. And Gideon's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. All right, look at this. And they thrust out. Look at this. They thrust him out and said, thou shalt not inherit our father's house. For thou art the son of a strange woman. You're the son of a harlot. You don't get nothing. Now, you talk about cutting words spoken to him by his brothers. They came and cut deeply because they came from those with whom he had grown up. He's grown up with them, his family. Look at this. That's family. That's who he's talking to. Family. Now, look at the results of these words. He leaves them. Verse 3, he leaves the brethren. He leaves. And And he dwelt in the land of Tob. And there he gathered vain men and went out with him. Look at this. Look at this. Now, we don't have time to open this up, but if you read down the page, you discover that war came in verse 4. And guess what happened? The elders went to find him in the land of Tob. You see? And they say, come on back, come on back, come on back. And in verse 7, he said, wait a minute. Didn't you hate me and spell me out of my father's house? And why ye come unto me now when you are in distress? Look what happens. And you can read the rest of the story, the accounts. Fascinating. See what's going on? Brothers cast an eye at their brother, and out he goes because he's a son of a harlot, and he will not gain any inheritance for us. See, these victims, wow, the victim of this, the victim here must have help or they'll be fatally injured. That's where the family breakups happen. That's right. This is where the family gets in trouble. I'll never go to no. You think I'm going to go over my brother's house? You got to be crazy. You think I'm going to talk to my sister? You're out of your mind. You think I'm talking to my son, my daughter? Huh? You think I'm talking to my mom or dad? Huh? You see, it's fatal. Now, to treat it, you must follow the same steps of a deep knife wound. You have to, number one, stop the bleeding. How would you stop the bleeding? Well, you apply pressure over the wound, of course. We know that. We cut our finger, we grab something, and we stop the bleeding by adding pressure. The person who has been deeply cut by words needs close contact of a friend who will give him reassurance. You gotta stop the bleeding. I'm still on your side. Hey, God's still with you. It's okay. The Lord will help you. Then what happens? The bleeding stops. That's number two. After the bleeding, cleanse any impurities from the cut. You got to get all that poison out. We'll talk about specifically poison words in a future teaching. See, you must have cleansing. See, the victim of cutting words also needs the cleansing of the word of God over the wound. Now, isn't it interesting? The first thing that happens is they quit going to church. Well, someone said something over there that really hurt me, so I'll stop going to church. That's the very thing you need to do, is go and get the word of God to cleanse you of the words spoken to you by others. Need the cleansing power of the word of God. No, I'm not going over there no more. Oh, the church are all hypocrites out there. They said this, they said that. And what happens is the wound becomes infected and it kills them spiritually. Third thing needs to happen is that the cleansing needs to be repeated with each dressing. That's right. Got to repeat, repeat, repeat. Get him into the Word of God, the Psalms especially. The direct Word of God into that life. But what do? They stay away from the book and they get more and more infected. And we know infection can kill you. Cut your hand and you see that red streak going up your arm, you better get to a doctor in a now. Blood poisoning go in your heart, kill you, the red streak. I knew a person that had a red streak all the way to their elbow. That they're that left, you know, think about that. Red, cut their hands, red streak all the way to their elbow. They were very close to dying. And by getting them to a doctor, saved their life. And saved their hand as well. Get them to the doctor. Get them to the Word of God. Get them where they need to go. Number four, recognize the danger. Okay, the surface can heal first and leave infection underneath. Jesus, the greatness of mercy. You see, in this case here, the surface, but festered, and its surface years later. I mentioned that. In verse 7, did you not hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when you are in distress? See, it surfaced years later. Now you want something from me, family, huh? After all these years, now you want something from me. Yes, you do. You want something from me. You need money, so you call. You need help, so you call. You need me to do a favor, so you call. Think about that. Huh. After all these years, what they said to me, now they come around and they want something from me. That's what happened in verse 7 of Judges 11. See, the initial result of a deep cut is not pain, but shock. They go in the shock. And the victim that's been cut with a knife needs to realize that the longer they wait. But they have to be assured of something. There's pain during the recovery process. Just doesn't go away. Snap your fingers, it's gone. And the wound is sensitive to the touch. Ow, that hurts. Ooh. Now, how many people have been wounded by cutting words? Have you ever wounded anyone? Has anyone ever wounded you? If you have wounded anyone with cutting words, ask God to forgive you and ask that person to forgive you as well. Now, if you've been wounded by cutting words, forgive that person. Ask God to help you to heal without complications. The longer you wait, the longer you wait, the longer you wait, the more infected it becomes. See, begin that treatment now. Don't wait until it's too late. Relationships break. Well, I haven't talked to that person in 30 years. Well, that's just dandy. Isn't he your brother? Let me tell you one story, and we'll conclude this first teaching. It was a funeral. I'll never forget it. Of their mother. I'll never forget it. I was Christian education director of this massive church. Huge. And my job was to coordinate the Christian education development in all the departments, from all the way from the children in the nursery all the way through the multiple adult classes, all the Wednesday nights. I had three children's churches on Sunday morning. We divided them up by age, three children, the place was jammed. Kids, teenagers, you get the picture. I coordinate the adult educations, and there you were. So one of the senior ladies passed that was just a grand lady. I knew her, of course. And after the service, I stepped out on the steps. I was part of the ministry staff going to complete the service, going to the cemetery, et cetera, et cetera. And I walked out and I was standing waiting, and church was very wide, extremely wide across the front, and had multiple steps to lead up to it. So I went down the steps and I was waiting for the team of pallbearers to bring the body out and put it into the funeral car, and we'd all be go to our cars on our way. Okay. I was at the bottom of the steps. At the top step, there was two brothers. They had come out and stopped at the top of the steps, and no one was around them. They were all by themselves on that first landing, which is pretty big. I was at the bottom. I was waiting for the procedure to go on. And I heard one look at the other, and I heard him say, "I am sorry," and called the brother's name. The brother said, "We have not spoken in 25 years. And the other brother said, "Yes, I know." "What was the problem?" And the other brother said, "I don't know. I don't remember." Called the other brother by name. And I heard this. "Here we are at Mama's funeral, and we're taking her to the cemetery in a few minutes, and we have not spoken one another in 25 years. And he said, called the one by name, "I am so sorry." And they fell on each other's neck, basically, and hugged and cried and cried and cried. And I heard, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." Something happened where there was a cutting word that separated these brothers. And it took the death of their mother, which was, she was a saint, believe me. Loved Jesus, loved family. And I wonder how many times she tried to get those sons of her back together. I don't know. But I wonder how many Christmases, 25 Christmases, 25 birthdays, 25 Thanksgivings, 25 summers, I mean, on and on. And they simply allowed cutting words to destroy them. Don't you dare do it. And don't you wait until it's too late. Treat those wounds now.